And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice.
Well, Friday was a lot of fun. It's time for another episode of NHL Fantasy on Ice, Week 11 Waiver Wire Edition. Nick Alberga, Jake Hahn, Chris Meany, and Pete Jensen. And such a great day for my brand on Friday, Jake. How are you, buddy?
A very good day for the Nick Alberga brand. I was going to say that off the top as somebody who always clamors for trades. Do you need another one, Nick? Does that satisfy you for at least a little bit? Those couple pretty big deals on Friday in the NHL.
I am now good until after the Olympics. I'm just going to put that into the universe. The Quinn Hughes deal, let's start there. How shocked are you as Minnesota, Jake?
Pretty shocked. I'm not going to lie. We talked on an earlier podcast probably a week or two ago, and we gave out some names. Okay, Detroit, Philly, New Jersey was an obvious one. A lot of connections were made there. Ultimately, Minnesota, Bill Guerin just steps up, I want to say almost out of nowhere. Meany, I don't know if you were making the Minnesota connection. We know Zeev Bouillon was there. Obviously, he goes back to Vancouver in this trade, but I like the fit, Quinn Hughes in Minnesota. I've been high on the Wild all season. Now I'm even higher on them with Quinn Hughes. But Meany, how shocked were you that it was the Minnesota Wild?
I was surprised when I joined you and Boomer last week on Sirius. I gave Minnesota as a candidate because I thought it's exactly what they needed. You got to go back to 2008 to see the last time a defenseman on the Wild had 25 points in the power play. Marek Zidlicky. Like, this is something they desperately needed on the back end. And obviously Quinn Hughes, you know, since his first game in the NHL, nobody has more points or power play points than him since he entered the league. He's been impressive. But yeah, at the same time, Nick, I was pretty shocked because there's no contract extension. I love what he said after the game last night. He's open to signing. It's not far from home. You know, he's saying Bill Guerin went out and got him, unlike other teams. So he's saying all the right things, but at the same time, they give up a lot to get him. And I think at the same time as well, Vancouver did well in this trade.
Yeah, I got to give a lot of props to Quinn Hughes. I mean, he took the extra day to himself with him and his family. They went over a PR plan he executed after that game for the Minnesota Wild. The 6-2 win for them. He scores 3 shots on goal, 26-55. Jake, you know who I think is the happiest guy in Minnesota today? Can you take a wild guess?
I'd say Bill Guerin's probably pretty happy in Minnesota.
It's Brock Faber, who I saw hit the waiver wire one of my leagues 24 hours prior to this trade. That you got to pick up that dude to begin with. He's playing with Quinn Hughes. But this instantly, I think, Jake, makes the Minnesota Wild a perennial contender. I know it's going to be difficult. It's a very tough division. We'll see if they get out of it. But it puts them right in the running. This is a top 10 fantasy player on the planet, in my opinion. Like, I think he'll be boosted by this. I think you look across the board at this Minnesota roster, the aspect of Kaprizov and Quinn Hughes in the same power play. It's some scary stuff. So I expect the Wild to be boosted all around, but Brock Faber's the guy I've really singled out here.
Well, and Meany is right about the fact that they are filling a need that they have if they want to push this team over the edge. We liked Zeev Bouillon coming into the season, but it was pretty clear that it wasn't working to the extent that Minnesota wanted it to. And look, he's young. He's going to get better and better as his career progresses. But if they're looking to win right now, you got to go for the more complete package in Quinn Hughes. And we'll get into Bouillon and what he could do in Vancouver here moving forward. But Meany, it was hard for me to not initially think, as much as I like Minnesota, and I did even before the Quinn Hughes deal, the division that they play in, are they setting themselves up just to be the 3 seed in the Central here and start on the road in Dallas? I mean, it's just the price of doing business, I guess, in the Central Division. But giving up a lot to go all in to push chips in the middle when you got to go through Dallas and Colorado just to make a conference final.
Yeah, and I thought it was very telling that their Stanley Cup odds didn't move. They're still 25-1 to win the Stanley Cup, picking up arguably the best defenseman. We could all say the second best behind Cale Makar in the NHL. Again, exactly what they needed. But now I look down the middle of the ice, and you know, there were some rumblings that Bill Guerin didn't really want to extend Marco Rossi. And that's a great get for Vancouver, second-line center behind Elias Pettersson. But I'm not going to be picking them against Colorado or Dallas, and that's what we're going to see. We're going to see a first-round matchup, most likely, against the Avs or against the Stars. So I don't think they're done. Clearly, Bill Guerin is all in, signing Kaprizov to the contract that he did in the offseason, now going and getting a guy like Quinn Hughes. I know they don't have a lot to trade in terms of prospects or first-round picks, but I think, Nick, that this team is desperately going to need a centerman. You know, Joel Eriksson-Ek is a great two-way center, but they need somebody else because the depth in Dallas and the depth in Colorado is significant.
Yeah, that was my major takeaway, is like, how do they attack the trade market now moving forward? Because you're so right. Like, Danila Yurov, I think, has got to be a happy dude as well, because Marco Rossi was about to come back and grab one of those 1-2-C positions, and now Yurov's going to stick on that top line. He's got the Kucherov, or the Kaprizov exposure, which I think is massive, clearly. But I think from the Vancouver perspective, Jake. I think there's some value to be found here, too. Like, Zeev Bouyam, really good debut, a 2-1 win. Everybody's beating the Devils these days. Rossi plays 18-16. Ogren's on the fourth line. But I think those two guys, obviously, specifically, Bouyam, I think, gets boosted. He's on the top power play unit. Change of scenery maybe for him. And Marco Rossi, like, Bill Guerin's been trying to trade this guy for, like, 15 years, it feels. He finally got his wish. He got the move. He got the play. He's into Vancouver now, and I think he's a guy who could surprise many with the Canucks.
I like Marco Rossi a lot. Maybe Bill Guerin didn't, and maybe he was okay parting with that, and I do agree with you guys. Center is something Minnesota, I think, needs to attack as the season goes on, and Rossi was somebody I thought would come back and fill that need. I thought Rossi was excellent for Minnesota last year when they were dealing with a bunch of injuries and kind of helped keep that team afloat. So I think he could do some really good things in Vancouver. And they were using, what, David Kampf as their first line center? So they clearly there's clearly a hole there for Vancouver. And Rossi's going to get an opportunity to play a lot of minutes, probably get some power play time. And as somebody that owns Zeev Bouyam basically across the board, Nick, and has pretty much cut ties with him across the board, I was a little frustrated to see him go to Vancouver and have one right away, and I thought, okay, maybe I got to scoop this guy back up. I didn't think he'd get that big of a bump already in Vancouver.
Yeah, I tell you what, guys, I know I'd brought up on this podcast before I had thought about dropping Bouyam. I didn't drop him. I kept him, and I think in Vancouver, I just think it's fresh, it's new. He's going to have no restrictions there, and I think there's opportunity with the Canucks. I still wonder the direction of that team. Like, you trade Quinn Hughes, are you going to seriously consider contending for anything this year? I don't buy that, but elsewhere, a team that certainly is contending has heated up as of late, especially their captain, Connor McDavid. The Oilers finally acquiring a netminder, and it's Tristan Jarry coming over. I can't wait for that revenge game. We're going to talk about that later on, coming up on Tuesday. I hope to clear the papers in time for Stuart Skinner to make his debut against his former team in his very first game with the Pittsburgh Penguins. But Means, how do you like that fit, Tristan Jarry? I know you guys on your list this week have him as a must-own file.
Well, I mean, when you play for the Edmonton Oilers, right, you're going to get the run support, and he's going to fall into some wins. I thought he was pretty good in his debut against the Edmonton Oilers, and he's had a bounce-back season. I know it's not spectacular. I have a lot of friends in Edmonton that feel like this is a sideways move, you know, McDavid leaving money on the table, and they go get Jarry, you know, who's locked up for a couple of years. But he's had a nice bounce-back campaign. And listen, if you're the Oilers, you've been to the Stanley Cup Finals in back-to-back seasons. You're looking at this season, you're dead last in save percentage, you're dead last in high-danger save percentage, and it's not like you give up a whole lot. You're a good 5-5 team led by two really good players, McDavid and Drysdale. So we look at some of the edge stats, and Jake Jarry's in the top 10 in high-danger save percentage, right? This is a guy that doesn't have to do a whole lot to win a lot of hockey games. So I like the move. He's a former Oil King, you know, he's back where he kind of grew up, where he started his professional hockey career, and we'll see what happens here with Edmonton.
It's an upgrade for the Oilers, at least in terms of which goaltender, Nick, is in the better form. Because Jarry, Meany just read off some of the numbers, the high danger numbers this year. He's been arguably a top 10 goaltender in the NHL. Stuart Skinner has been nowhere close to that. Now, the downside is, you know, as bad as Skinner has been this year, he's been big for Edmonton in some big games in the past. They have made it to two straight cup finals. Can Jarry do that? I think with his current form, he can. I would just worry about those couple extra years on that contract at over $5 million per year. Stan Bowman seems to think that's a good thing, that he's got Jarry under control. This was a guy that just got sent to the American Hockey League a year ago. So he's found his form right now, but we know goalies are weird. Nick, I know you're very much in that camp, getting frustrated with these guys all the time. Things could turn very quickly. So I wasn't in love with the move for Edmonton, but if you're trying to win a cup right now, Jarry is certainly an improvement over what Stuart Skinner was giving them.
They had no choice. I was at the debut over the weekend against the Maple Leafs. The Oilers are a joke defensively, and I don't care who's in there for them. It could be Carey Price. They got lucky to win that game in the second half. I mean, Nylander was sick. The Leafs just weren't on their game for the third period, and they blew the lead. And then they go into Montreal and just get obliterated. Like, they just got dissected in that game. It was McDavid making mistakes. That team is not great defensively, and I don't care who's in there until they rectify that situation. I think they could be in serious trouble, but I do think it's an upgrade to have Jarry in there. Again, even in that Leafs game, he made like three breakaway saves in that game. Like, it was an insane sort of debut for him. But I also wonder, Means, I know you want to weigh in on this, like Stuart Skinner, his value, what it means now going to Pittsburgh, who is fighting for a playoff spot right now. Like, that's the cool sidebar story to this from their perspective. I get why they made the deal, because there's not a significant drop-off here, I think.
Yeah, and they're a mess too. And I just wanted to follow up. You talked about the odd man rushes, and that's what I saw last night. The Canadians had like two or three breakaways, two on one. So I know it was Picker between the pipes, but yeah, they're going to have to tighten up defensively. And because Jari is linked to the Oilers, he does become a sell high candidate, right? I mean, I've been saying this all year long. You're playing, you know, that goaltender game. It depends on your situation for sure, but. Yeah, Edmonton certainly does need to tighten up. And you can say the same thing about the Penguins, right? How many third period leads have they blown? Mm-hmm. They were up 4 goals against the Sharks in the third and blew that lead, and then had a 3-0 lead heading into the third period last night against Utah and blew that one as well. Skinner is on an expiring contract. I wouldn't be shocked if he was flipped for some goaltending depth, you know, later on down the road. To me, it seems, Jake, that the Penguins, and I could see it on Crosby's face, he's like, oh no, here we go again. We've had a good start. We're scoring some goals. We got Raquel back in lineup. Just lost Jari. Who else has gone from this team? And they have two rookie goaltenders playing okay that they're going to want to give a look here down the stretch as well.
And Nick, I caught a bit of the Sunday Pittsburgh collapse. There was two collapses this weekend, Saturday and Sunday. I was driving to Beer League Puck, and I had the old 2-9er and the Penguins broadcast on. I thought he was going to walk off the broadcast. He was at a loss for words. It was ridiculous. And not the biggest fan of Erik Karlsson in that game. I got to say, he had some choice words for what he was doing out there on the ice. So, yeah, Skinner goes from one defensive mess to another defensive mess. I don't think I'm cutting ties with Skinner, maybe depending on league size. I think I'm going to hang on and kind of see where this whole situation goes. But Kyle Dubas said it's an opportunity for someone to step up, whether that's Skinner, whether that's one of their other goaltenders, a Shelovs, a Mirashov, one of these other players. It's kind of an open position for someone to step up and take it. And Stuart Skinner could be that guy. We have seen him, you know, step up at times in the past, even though it can easily go the other way too.
So two big trades and one big injury. Connor Bedard goes down, and it's a tough one to handle as a fantasy owner of Connor Bedard in pretty much all my leagues. And not to mention, I had a couple of futures on him over in goals, over in points, and we'll see how long he's out. But this is tough news for the Hawks. We saw sort of the depression over the weekend, the hangover, if you will, 4-0 loss to Detroit. Frank Nazar's a guy who would move up, I think, to be the center on that top line. But I, you know, depending on how long Bedard is out here, Jake, I wonder what I would do with Hawks files moving forward for the next couple months if he misses some time.
So when we have a player go out, guys, right, we're always looking for that next man up. Okay, who can soak up the minutes? Nick, you mentioned Frank Nazar, which is a good shout. And I think he's somebody that would actually get a bump because he's a talented player and he can kind of drive himself. Meaning, I would think if Bedard's out for an extended period of time, I think everybody in Chicago takes a hit. Like, the offense goes through him.
See you later.
And, you know, I don't really want the Bertuzzis as much anymore, or anybody that's playing with a Connor Bedard. So I think the team would take a massive hit offensively with what he's doing on a night-to-night basis. And unfortunate to see him get hurt in that situation. 1 second left in a game, face-off play, he's trying to just snap it on net. You know, Braden Schenn, under the rules, that's the smart play. You know, you just eliminate Bedard. You know, even if you take a penalty, you don't have to actually serve it because the game's over. So unfortunate to see him go down. Did look like he was in a lot of pain, but still awaiting further updates on Bedard here.
Yeah, it looked like a freak incident. I know the Hawks said that. I know Schenn reached out to Bedard as well to, you know, apologize. There's like a second left on that face-off. And I'll tell you what you do with all the Hawks. You cut them. I dropped Bertuzzi last night, and he's having a great season. He was among the leaders in high-danger goals. He's a beast on the power play. Burakovsky's been nice. Lefshinov's had some moments. You drop them all because the offense is all around Connor Bedard. So the power play is going to struggle, and it's just an unfortunate incident. It's been a great season, and you know, you could say the same thing about Spencer Knight. You know, this guy's seen a lot of rubber. Now he's not going to get the run support that he's had with Bedard in the lineup. So there's a couple guys hanging around the waiver wire that we'll get to with Pete, but you know, I wanted to kind of shout Dylan Cousins, who's around 50% ownership because of the Pinto injury. You know, he's had a lot of ice time, the boost there, the top power play, and he's been contributing lately as well. He could touch a lot of categories for you.
Elsewhere, Will Smith goes down here for San Jose. Look at Tyler Toffoli, who's got 2 4-point outings in the last 8 games. Bo Horvat day-to-day. Cal Ritchie's a guy to elevate, I think, in that lineup. And Victor Hedman out until after the Olympics, I believe. Darren Radish, as we've been talking about all season long, has been a monster for Tampa, luckily for them. Returns are important, too. Jay Connor Hellebuck, you can see right away how important this guy is to that Jets team. He comes back, 24 saves, a 5-1 win over Washington there.
It's amazing. My only concern, Meany, and you could touch on this and the Jets and what this means, but my only concern is, did he rush back a little too quickly? Now, he looked good. He looked healthy, but you know, we know Winnipeg was losing a lot of hockey games there, and it was getting to the point where, you know, their season could have been in jeopardy, and the timeline felt a little short for him to come back. You know, you got Olympics coming up too. I don't know. I'm just a little worried he rushed himself back in, and we'll see. Hopefully he could stay fully healthy the rest of the way, but Nick's right. You could tell how much Hellebuck meant to that team. They got an immediate boost right out of the gate.
Yeah, and they beat a really good Capitals team that was on a run. The timeline, Pete and I were chatting, it's like, wow, Hellebuck is coming back tonight. It's pretty surprising because he just had surgery and he had like a 4-week timeline, so he was ahead of schedule there. And yeah, I mean, you just hope that he's ready to go, that he's not rushing things back. But I still have concerns for the Jets. You know, without Hellebuck, they were the worst team over that sample size with Comrie between the pipes. And it's not just him. They weren't getting the goal support. It's essentially a one-line team in Winnipeg at the moment. They were the worst team in the NHL, so they desperately needed him back. And they have a long way to climb to get back into the playoff race.
Okay, let's get to the schedule. Week 11, December 15th to 21st. And I'm telling you, a friend of the podcast, Johnny Lazarus, loving this week. A 5-game week for the New York Rangers. That's why Monday 5, 10 Tuesday 5, Wednesday 10 on Thursday, 5 Friday, 13 Saturday, 9 on Sunday. Grand total of 57 games. So the Rangers play 5 times. The 4-game teams, Anaheim, Boston, Dallas, Detroit, Edmonton, Florida, Minnesota, Montreal, Nashville, Ottawa, Pittsburgh, St. Louis, Toronto, Utah, Washington, Winnipeg. Everyone plays at least 3 times this week, Jake.
Busy schedule. This is what we talked about with the condensed schedule. It feels like now it's starting to finally hit with the Olympics. And I know at post-Olympics, there's a lot of really tight schedules as well. So you're going to see more of this. Obviously, the Rangers with the 5-game week, it's tough. They're not exactly a fantasy gold mine this year at all. Pretty much the complete opposite. Is it finally time, guys, we could get Alexis Lafreniere going? Maybe this is the week. I know, Meany, it's been a struggle for him, but getting a decent line assignment 5-game week, if he's sitting on a wire, I think I would give him a look. And like Nick mentioned, plenty of 4-game team weeks as well this week.
Yeah, the Rangers star power. All the guys that you want are owned. Miller's been good lately. Mika Zibanejad's been fantastic. Panarin as well. But yeah, I was watching that game against the Canadiens, and Lafreniere certainly had some chances, and he is playing with the big boys, and they have a power play with 5 forwards until Fox comes back. So maybe give him a look, or Will Cooley in a league with hits.
Pete Jensen, welcome in. Obviously, lots going on in this NHL world. 2 massive deals on Friday. Let's start there with the waiver wire list for week 11. Sort of your input on the trades and what that means for the waiver wire.
Well, you mentioned Brock Faber as a beneficiary. I wanted to throw in also that the Wild already had the second best goalie tandem in the league, and add in Quinn Hughes, who pretty much is at the top among defensemen or near the top in every single skating edge stats category to boot. So pretty crazy there to think about the impact that he could have on an already strong defensive team. But you look at other ways to tap into the Minnesota Wild right now. Danila Yurov and Vladimir Tarasenko are on the top line with Kaprizov. And then you also look at Ryan Hartman, who's only 3% rostered. This guy in his past 2 games has been a beast. 4 points, including 2 power play goals, 2 assists. He's playing line 3 and power play 2, but he's a guy that covers block shots. He's got 31 this year, which is a really strong forward total, and also covers shots on goal and hits. So this is a guy that checks a lot of boxes. And even though the Wild are not that good up the middle with their center depth, they have a couple of guys that, when healthy, Hartman and Yurov, they can contribute, and they can round the secondary scoring into form a little bit.
Pete, what about the Vancouver side of this deal? I think most of us are more excited about the Minnesota side, a contender, Quinn Hughes, obviously one of the best players in the game. But I think there is some angles we can play here in Vancouver. Zeev Bolyom has that nice first game. You know, maybe Marco Rossi can get going once he gets in there as well.
Definitely. Look at Zeev Bolyom on power play 1, already had a multi-point game we were talking about. And then, you know, looking at that team right now, Elias Pettersson is banged up as well. So Marco Rossi is on the top line with Jake DeBrusk and Brock Besser. Have those guys had outstanding seasons? Not necessarily, but this is a team. We see it in the NHL, right? Like they just traded their best player. Looked like they were giving up after they lost to the Sabres the other night. And then you go ahead and beat the New Jersey Devils. So there's a lot of parity in this league and a lot of garbage points. It's not like some of these other pro sports leagues out there with the worst team in the league is worthless fantasy-wise. You're going to be able to still get some garbage points here from Bolyom and Marco Rossi.
The thing with Zeev Bolyom, you know, where in Minnesota, he was kind of sheltered over the past couple of weeks. Vancouver is going to let him do whatever he wants. He can fall in some blocks, and of course, he's going to get a lot of ice time. 19 minutes in his debut is certainly encouraging. You know, Pete, I streamed a couple Flyers on Sunday. I may hold them. Christian Dvorak down the middle of the ice, Sean Couturier. The points are not really there from them, but they're contributing in other categories, winning some faceoffs, and they really are getting an opportunity, and the Flyers have been surprising this year.
We do these Sunday scoops, these pickups for your Sunday games to try to tilt the matchup. Maybe was the best Sunday Scoops rendition that we've ever had yesterday. We had Hartman, we had Dvorak, who's up to 22 points this season. We had Alex Lyon, who has three straight road victories. All of a sudden, the Sabres are back in that pack of teams in the Eastern Conference. And then Alex Steeves, who continues to score goals and continues to have an insane amount of hits this season. So check out that on the NHL Fantasy Instagram account. And I was pleased to see Dvorak. He's third on the Flyers in points outright this season, and nobody's talking about him. There are a bunch of guys on the waiver wire list this week that are like 5% rostered or fewer. So this is the time to dig deep in fantasy.
Pete, I don't know what your future aspirations are, but you better work for the Buffalo Sabres one day. Like, you have to be working for that organization. I don't know if it's GM in some capacity.
It might not be a bad thing for them either, right?
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Change it up a little
bit. You're on the ball with that team, but you are as well with San Jose. They're so intriguing. We know defensively they're a work in progress, but there's so many guys on that team who can produce. You got a couple of Sharks on your list this week.
Yeah, I mean, the Sharks, what they pulled off the other day, and I know Will Smith is banged up, so you're going to see increased roles from some of these other guys. John Klingberg, remember we talked about him one of the first weeks of the season, kind of tapered off. He's up to 4 power play goals this season and has been putting together strings of multi-point games lately for San Jose. All these other teams that are surprised, Pittsburgh's fallen off a cliff lately. Chicago falling off a little bit, and the injury to Connor Bedard is immense. The San Jose Sharks, nobody's talking about Warsawski for Jack Adams. Maybe something we could talk about in On the Money a little bit later, that specific number. But the San Jose Sharks are the single most improved team in the NHL this season, and there are still ways to tap into William Eklund, 32% rostered, John Klingberg, 9% rostered on the blue line. I love those plays.
I love to see Will Eklund on the list, Pete. You know, I'm a huge fan, and, you know, he went down. It's taken a little while now for him to come back, so I like that shout a lot. How about Pittsburgh? We did talk about returns, players coming back into the lineup. Rickard Rakell comes back last week, which was good to see for fantasy owners like myself who were loving the production from Rakell. So trying to figure out what the Penguins' line combos are going to be here now moving forward, Pete, but you're digging deep for a Penguin that seems to be firing it and seems to be locked into that top six right now.
Yes, Ben Kindle's filling in for injured Evgeny Malkin down the middle. He can play a little center, can play a little wing. He's quietly among the rookie leaders in a couple of different categories. Has been a goal scorer so far this year, regardless of lineup placement. And hey, yeah, I mean, if he puts up some numbers as a diamond in the rough, even if his team's blowing third period leads, if your league doesn't count plus minus, that's not really hurting you on the Ben Kindle front. So just kind of a hidden gem among rookies is Ben Kindle. We talked about him a little before the Global Series, but not so much since. He keeps it going here for Pittsburgh.
What are you doing between the pipes? Help us out.
There are a couple options. John Gibson's won 5 in a row with 2 shutouts in the span.
Hot.
I mean, it's a weird thing with him because at the surface, he's playing well. I was digging into his edge stats. There's not much there. So Detroit is a pretty sound power play, a strong possession team this season, ranking in the top half of the league. And also when you look at the PDO, the shooting percentage plus save percentage, near the bottom of the league, which indicates room for further improvement, not only in the 5-on-5 shooting percentage, but also in terms of the net minding. So I think that he's taken a big step this season after some real doldrums the past couple of years with Anaheim, staying remotely healthy and winning games here for Detroit, who should get into the playoffs at the end of the day as all these other teams are sputtering left and right. If Detroit is healthy with that offense and 2 decent goalies, they're probably getting in this year. So thanks to Gibson there.
Love it. Week 11 waiver wire list available right now on NHL.com/fantasy. Treat yourself this holiday season to some iconic and unexpected hockey gifts. The new year is around the corner, and it's not too soon to start training for the new you. NHL Shop features a variety of athletic gear for the hockey fan with sweat-wicking fabrics to keep you fresh during intense training sessions. Check out the Authentic Pro Collection, the same products the players wear, or this Lululemon Vapor License to Train hoodie. Learn more about these products in the NHL Shop Holiday Gift Guide. You can find all these items and more on NHLShop.com. Use the code NHLGIFT15. That's NHLGIFT15 for 15% off your purchase on NHLShop.com. Exclusions do apply. Code expires in 12/31/25. We're going to hit the break. Other side, On the Money, brought to you by Bet365. Don't go anywhere.
The scrape of blades. The clash of sticks. Hockey's more than a game. It's unrelenting, never-give-up moments that make you feel alive. And so you commit to the weekly ups and downs, the long road to the playoffs. You wear your heart on your sleeve and your jersey with pride. And when you're there for your team, the NHL Shop is there for you. Check out the largest selection of official NHL gear at NHLShop.com. Fanatics experience.
Hey everyone, Adnan Virk here to talk about our great podcast, NHL Unscripted, with Virk and Demers.
Jason Demers here. After playing 700 NHL games, it turns out I have an opinion or two.
Whoever's saying trade one of them, you don't know anything about hockey.
I'm on the bandwagon. I'm rooting for this team.
With new guests every week, we will talk about hockey and more.
Can't wait till you watch the movie, because it's the biggest award of her career.
He went into the cheetah exhibit, and the cheetah took a piece out of him, and he came into the ring the next day.
Tune in to NHL Unscripted with Virk and Demers on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to NHL Fantasy on Ice. Nick Alberga, Jay Kahn, Chris Meany, and Pete Jensen. Listen up, hockey fans. You won't want to miss this. Experience the thrill of NHL betting with Bet365, an official league partner. With Bet365, you can create your own bets, build same-game parlays, and take advantage of early payouts when your team goes up 3 goals. Bet on every exciting moment on the ice, from goals and points to shots and saves. Bet on the NHL with Bet365 and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365, an official betting partner of the NHL. Must be 19 or older, Ontario only. Please play responsibly. If you or someone you know has concerns about gambling, visit ConnexOntario.ca. Jake, I got to start with some revenge. Monday night, Chris Kreider, anytime goal, please. Whoa. Against the Anaheim Ducks visiting the New York Rangers on Broadway.
There you go. I don't mind Anaheim in that game as well, although I was a little disappointed with them against the Devils on Saturday, but maybe you chalk that up to a Devils team that was just desperate. They needed to win. They needed to get some sort of positive vibes going there in New Jersey. So I like the Kreider shout, and I'll probably be sprinkling on the Ducks money line. We can't not talk about Florida and Tampa, guys. I wish I could get a line. I don't know if Bet365 offers this, if we can go deep enough on over on penalties or post-whistle activity between the Lightning and the Panthers on Monday. We know these teams do not like each other whatsoever. So I'll go to a different over. I'll just keep it simple. The over 5.5 on goals. Vasilevsky still out. Don't trust the Tampa goaltending right now. Florida goaltending hasn't really been that good this year either, assuming Bobrovsky's going to get the call on Monday. So I like this to go over the 5.5 total tonight means.
Yeah, I like that. And Anton Liddell, we have him in our picks over at NHLFantasy.com. Plus money for a point. He's having a career season, guys. Playing with Sam Reinhart. Those guys are cooking at the moment. And shout out to Pete, who had Darren Radish at plus 600, plus 650 for a goal. He's 6-1 again for a goal. He leads all defensemen in points and power play points since November 16th. He's on a heck of a heater. And Dylan Cousins, I talked about him earlier, 7 points over a 3-game stretch, 5 power play points over that span, 8 shots in his last 2 games. He's plus money for 3 shots. And actually, although I like him for a point, I think I got to ride with the Jets at home, Nick, with Hellebuck back, and really Ottawa getting no goaltending at all. So I do like Winnipeg, and I like Dallas at home against the Kings.
I like it. Yeah, I was looking at that Ottawa-Winnipeg game as well. I don't know about a side, but I think you have to trend Winnipeg because it's on home ice and Hellebuck's back in the mix. So I'll probably play the under in that game. Meantime, on Tuesday, Jake, we got the big revenge game we're all looking for. Looking back to last week, Tristan Jarry, you would assume, is going to start that game. I'm firstly looking at .1000 at least for Leon Draisaitl. He's at 999 right now. And I like the Edmonton puck line. I think they're going to stomp Pittsburgh in that game. It's a big one for Tristan Jarry as well.
And also on Monday, we get St. Louis and Nashville again. I know it's not the sexiest of matchups with where these teams are at, but we just saw this last week. Steven Stamkos had 4 goals against the St. Louis Blues. I'm not saying he's going to go for 4 again, Meany. I think that would be a little bit steep, but look at the shot numbers out of nowhere from Stamkos. We know he was a volume shooter earlier in his career. 21 shots on goal in his last 3 games. I think I'm going to try to continue to ride that trend, Stamkos. I don't think I bet a cent on him all season, but 21 shots in 3 three games. Feels like he's at least firing it right now. Do they go in like they did last time against St. Louis? We'll see. But I'll play the Stamkos shot prop against the Blues tonight.
Yeah, why not? Like, ride this thing out. He's playing the best hockey of the season at this moment. We know that the Blues are a mess. I don't know if Dylan Holloway is going to play tonight. They can't keep the puck out of their net. I would imagine they go to Joel Hofer. I think he's interesting, you know, in a deeper format. But I certainly like the Stamkos call. And tomorrow, you know, with you guys mentioned the Ducks and the Rangers, is plus money for over 6.5 goals. The Ducks has been playing to the over all year long. And tomorrow they have the Blue Jackets. Man, that has a we could see 7 or 8 goals in that game. So yeah. I would stockpile some props and maybe the over in that one.
Speaking of props, PD props, what do you got to say here, buddy?
PD props.
I was going to say for Tuesday, take a look at Vasily Podkolzin. He's seen a serious uptick. He's playing with Draisaitl on the second line. He covers some hits, been scoring some goals. I believe 5 points in his past 5 games there, including 4 goals. So you got to like that. And then, yeah, to piggyback off what Jake was saying, Stamkos plus 240 for an anytime goal with that type of shot volume, put 2 and 2 together, he's going to get another goal here and trying to increase his trade value after what we saw last week, right? How about all these 35 and older players that are having monster seasons? Crosby, Marchand, him. I mean, it's Ovechkin. I mean, this is a trend in the league. It's all the young guns, but the old guard is doing pretty damn well too.
Yeah, I think it's fascinating, too, with the Olympics. A lot of these guys, like I throw a guy I cover, Oliver Ekman-Larsson, is having his best season of his career. He's on pace for 67 points, which would be a career best. This guy ran the power play in Zona for years. So I think that's definitely a theme. And, yeah, Jake, we get closer and closer to the holiday freeze, too, right? Like, it's great we saw those two big trades. I don't anticipate anything more, but next thing you know, like, you get into the month of January, even as well with the Olympic break, I wonder if teams try to get active. Like, my big idea or thought now is, like, okay, how does the rest of the Central react to Quinn Hughes joining Minnesota, right?
Right, that's a great, and how does Minnesota continue to react too, right? This might be deal one of 2 or 3 deals for Bill Guerin, and you mentioned the holiday freeze coming up. So maybe everyone will take a little bit of a pause, you know, enjoy some time with family really quick, but then it's got to be very quick. Then you're right back after it. We got Olympics hammered in there as well. So do Colorado and Dallas respond, or are they just like, hey, we're Colorado and Dallas. We're good. We got our players. We don't need to be making moves. Minnesota, you can be that team to make moves to try to catch up to where we are. But man, I would hate to be a fan in that division right now. It's only one team can make it through. It's going to make for some great series come playoff time, and it's going to be a tough side of the bracket to make it through, guys.
Guys, I did tease the Warsawski Jack Adams number. It's plus 5,000 for the Sharks, who again are the most improved team in the NHL, in my opinion. So take that for what it's worth.
It's amazing as we look here at the cup odds, the Avs at plus 350. Even Florida over the past couple of years didn't get that short, right? So what Colorado is doing, I don't think they need to make a move, Jake, but to your point, maybe we do see a Dallas Stars team, right, with Tyler Seguin likely lost for the season, does open up some money for them, Nick, to maybe make a Rasmus Anderson deal or something on the blue line. I think they're pretty loaded offensively. I think they're okay there. They'll be fine without Seguin, but if they can add somebody, of course, you're not going to get a guy like Quinn Hughes, but if you can add somebody inside that top four on the blue line, I mean, we're going to see most likely a first round matchup between the Wild and one of those two beasts in that division.
And Nick, don't look now, but the New York Islanders are all of a sudden 3 points back of the Carolina Hurricanes for top spot in the Metro. I don't think we talked about them too much because we had a lot to get into on the pod, but I'm starting to buy into what this Islanders team is doing. They've just got a good vibe going there. There's an opportunity in the Metro. I don't know if I believe in Carolina and their goaltending. I do like Washington a lot. New Jersey looks like they're going to have their work cut out just to make the playoffs. So opportunity for the Islanders to maybe surprise some people this year.
Every year there's that surprise team. I think Montreal is a team last year when you're the hunter, not the hunted. There's no pressure. Just go out there and play. And that's what we're seeing right now for the New York Islanders. I would just add to wrap, I think it'd be an amazing storyline to monitor that captain in Pittsburgh maybe gets available before the deadline and the three Central Division monsters are all going after the guy. Whether it's Colorado, whether it's Dallas, whether it's Minnesota, they all need centers. I know Montreal could be in the mix too. That's the that's the next domino for me, Jake, as we wrap, is Sidney Crosby. Is he going to just sit there and take this, or is he going to try to win again?
you're going to hit us with that on the way out, Nick. That would be a good. I mean, the rich would get richer. Just put all the good players in the Central Division, let them duke it out, and then, like I said, that's going to create some opportunities on other sides of the bracket if we're just going to stack the Central. Crosby joining that mix after we just saw Quinn Hughes. Oh boy, that would be something else.
Salivating already. Great job this week, boys. Coming up on Thursday, more to come. Week 11 mailbag. Thanks to producer Bob Bender. For Jay Kahn, Chris Meaney, and Pete Jensen, I'm Nick Alberga. You've been listening to NHL Fantasy Nice. We'll talk later this week.